This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to a beautiful Friday edition of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Final thoughts. Nebraska versus Iowa in basketball. Obviously, the Hawkeyes won. So final thoughts on that. A look back at the season that was the greatest season in the history of Nebraska basketball. It's a bitter pill right now. And it's not, again, it's not just because we lost. It's because of who we lost to. It's because of how we lost to them. But if we take a step back, Jake and I will put a little bit of perspective on the season as a whole. We'll try to transport ourselves a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the future. But you know how after all those football games that we unfortunately lose too often. Okay. Monday, like Sunday, Monday, we're pissed. Tuesday, all right, the sky's not falling. Wednesday, it's not as bad as we thought. Thursday, ooh, I like this key to the game. Friday, we're winning. Saturday, we're going to win the whole dang thing. You know how that cycle works?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to try to speed that up. We're going to try to do it in less than 24 hours. You look skeptical. The look on your face is like, you look skeptical. We're going to try to speed that up today. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Final thoughts on Nebraska versus Iowa. The brutal loss that was, who it was, how it was, who it was to, how it was. We'll try to speed up the clock of the Husker fandom recovery when it comes to Nebraska basketball. This is the facts are they did several things this year that have never happened in the history of this program. But first, we got to vent. First, we got to let that out. And then we can let sanity, well, insanity is going to creep in, and then hopefully sanity will find its way in at some point, possibly, potentially, probably not. But either way, we're going to look back the season as a whole. And then there's this little practice. This practice is going on tomorrow. It's called a game. It's the most analyzed practice of the year every year, except for last year and maybe even this year. Although it will still be the single most analyzed practice, just not to the level that it's been. This thing called the spring game is going on tomorrow. We're going to preview the spring game. I got a lot to talk about, as always. It's a loaded show, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get into that, shout out to Colligan. All right. As a former Husker and NFL player, I'm a bit of a health nut. Hydration and recovery, they start at home. Make sure you team up with Colligan of Lincoln. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects my water heater and appliances. Their high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water usage for drinking. Make sure that you add a Colligan Reverse Osmosis. It is like bottled quality water right at your tap. Great taste and is certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, check out their spring specials as we celebrate March Madness. And make sure you stay hydrated through all the remainder of the fun. By the way, the final eight teams, already three of them are from the Big Ten. And there's more games to be played tonight. Just going to throw that out there. This is Colligan of Lincoln. Water you love, ladies and gentlemen, go Big Red. So you look at this game. These teams were shooting lights out. It was 46-43 at halftime. Remember the score the first time they played, 52-57? This was not the game that I thought it was going to be. Now, the final score wasn't astronomical. Nebraska, during the regular season, averaged 72 points a game. They scored 71. Iowa shot lights out. And frankly, took advantage of some things that Nebraska's defense was doing, wasn't doing. It was allowing Iowa to do the weak side rotation, not rotating quick enough, things of that nature. Iowa was hitting the long shots. Nebraska was hitting the long shots. Brent Frager coming in was four of his last 23 pointers. And then he had three within like the first 10 minutes of the game. He came out on fire. Iowa was shooting. I wrote it down. I left a note at home. I think it was over 60% from beyond the arc in the first half. Does that sound about right to you?
It wouldn't shock me, no.
64% is the number I have in my head. Again, I left the note at home. I've got all these other things here.
So it's, yeah, 7 of 11, 64% a half.
See, I was right. Now, the hot shooting didn't return immediately out of the break. All right. The teams were on fire. Then they went 1 of 8 from beyond the arc after that. And there's another note here that I have about, unfortunately, Nebraska cooled off. Here it is. Over the last 12 minutes of the game, Nebraska went 3 of 20 from the field. So as the game went along, one team, I don't want to say stayed hot. I would say they maintained their composure a little bit better. When you maintain your composure, we quit attacking the rim quite as much. Obviously, the deep shots weren't falling. I felt like there were some more forced shots as the game went along. Hence, the shooting percentage went down. Sometimes it's not just your shooting percentage, it's your shot selection, which directly affects your shooting percentage, if that makes sense. Like, if you have a quarterback who's dinking and dunking and has an 85% completion percentage, but his average yards per pass is like 4 yards, it's not as impressive as if someone's completing 70% of their passes, which is still really freaking good, but they're averaging 15 yards per pass attempt. Does that make sense? So when you look at this game, both teams came out on fire. Nebraska built an early lead. I'm sitting there thinking, like, I was not just going to go away. They're tough. They're solid. But we're going to win. Like, I'm just like, we're going to win. I just kept waiting for that moment when we'd pull away just enough that I could feel good about it, and that moment never came. It was kind of like the Vandy game. Vandy just never went away. The difference was we found a way to win. At the end of this game, the last 12 minutes looked a lot different than the first 28 minutes from Nebraska's perspective. I just mentioned 3 for 20 shooting. The shooting percentage was over 50% going into halftime. I believe we were 58% from beyond the arc, 50% at halftime when it came to field goal shooting percentage. We finished the game underneath 50 in both. Iowa did not, but their shot selection was a lot better. They were taking advantage of different things. But to me, the difference in the game was about 5 minutes left or so to go in the game. You just got the feeling one team was more composed. One team was not rattled. And I'm not saying Nebraska was rattled. Part of me wondered if they looked tired. Did they look tired at all to you? Do you think that played a factor? Because I never once watched Iowa and thought they looked tired. There were times here and there where I wondered if Nebraska looked tired. Jake?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they did go with the 7-man rotation last night. Of course, there had been, you know, to kind of talk about, you know, Garcia or, you know, maybe another player off the bench. But that's what they went with. So maybe that factored in. Certainly, you know, when you get tired, sometimes your shots come up a little bit short because of your legs and all that. So that would make some sense as it came down to the end. There, Nebraska was not able to hit their shots. So maybe a little bit. But again, that was such a game of runs. I'm not sure. Maybe that I that's not something that I necessarily thought of. I think if you would have played that game 8 more minutes, Nebraska would have swung back in and we'd keep going through the streak. So could be a factor, but I did not necessarily notice it.
And I don't know that it was. It was something that kind of entered my brain. A couple people threw it out to me. Sometimes when you're – the biggest thing that stood out to me, I felt like one team maintained their composure and one team did it as well. And sometimes when you don't have your composure all the way together as much as you would like in the biggest moments, the key moments, the final moments of games, sometimes it can look sporadic. It can look like you're not disciplined. It can look like you're out of whack. Sometimes it can look like you're tired. You are having to work harder to do things because you're not in sync with how you're normally doing things. At the end of the game, it just felt to me one team kept their composure. Now, there were some people who hit me up. Oh, we gave up. Oh, there was no heart. And I'm just like, that's ridiculous. That's not ass a 7. That's not ass 8. That's ass a 9. We did not play as well at the end of the game as they did. They absolutely took over the game when it mattered the most. They were more disciplined. They were more composed. And when we had the lead and we needed to put the game away, we just couldn't do it. When they got the opportunity to do it, they did it immediately. And to me, that was the difference. In the key moments, with a few minutes to go in the game, we had the opportunity to put our foot on their throat and step down, and we couldn't quite do it. They not only did it, they did it instantly. And then I don't know if we'd have swung back around because I felt like they started to separate the last couple minutes. I mean, they won by 6 when they trailed almost predominantly the entire game. So, and to be clear, this happens in sports. Like, if I'm a Vanderbilt fan talking after that Nebraska game, there's things that I could say, hey, look at what Nebraska did that we didn't do. In the end, it was a great game. Somebody had to win. Somebody had to lose. The thing that sucked about this game, I know, you talk for a living and you use that word. Yeah, because that's how it felt, was the way we lost was at the very end after leading the entire game when you were just kind of waiting for Nebraska to put the nail in the coffin of their basketball season and we never did it. Then they kind of, they didn't really out-physical us, but I don't want to say out-mentally toughed us. They out-composed us. They were more composed than we were. And when they had a chance to put the nail in the coffin of our season, they did it without hesitation. They did it instantly. And it didn't help. You know, we're down by three. Call the timeout. It's been talked about. You put four defenders on the court. They get the wide open, easy layup. They go up by 5 points. There's not a lot of time left. And you're looking around and you're like, uh-oh. Maybe if that particular thing goes differently, we get a defensive stop instead of a mental error and a wide open, easy layup because we only had four defenders on the court, maybe things go completely differently. But it felt like after that moment, Iowa was like, yeah, it's over. And Nebraska was scrambling, hoping it wasn't over.
You've probably heard the promise, quick in-office sinus and snoring relief, same solution, same timeline for everyone. The reality is, no two people experience sinus or snoring problems the same, and your path to feeling better should reflect that. At Ohio ENT and Allergy Physicians, your care starts with a thorough evaluation by a local board-certified ENT physician. Sometimes an in-office option works. Sometimes something else is better. The difference? Your plan is built around you. Visit OhioENTAndAllergy.com and schedule an appointment today.
When you've got Omaha Steaks convenient everyday protein waiting at home, that what's for dinner panic turns into your weeknight win. And now's the time to buy during the Omaha Steaks Spring Savings Event. Save big on their exclusive lineup of mouthwatering steaks, gourmet burgers, air-chilled chicken, pork, seafood, and more. Go to OmahaSteaks.com for an extra $35 off when you use promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
And to me, that's what felt like the biggest difference was in the key moments. They did what they tend to do, not just in basketball, but in football. They stay disciplined. They don't beat themselves. They wait for you to make a mistake. And then they either allow you to beat themselves or they take that mistake you made and they use it against you. And that's kind of what Iowa did the last few minutes of the game. Credit to them. I mean, I went through their coaches, his records, multiple D2 championships, multiple championships the last 10 years that D2 levels, other lower levels, an undefeated season in there, 38-0 on a particular year. He's a good basketball coach. Iowa is exponentially better at basketball than they've been since, what was it, 1987 when I was 3 years old. We're exponentially better than we've been. Unfortunately, they won the game that mattered the most. It sucks because it's them. It really sucks because of how it went down at the end, and it almost seemed all too familiar for Nebraska fans when it comes to how games tend to turn out a little too often against Iowa. I'm not even going to call them the bad guys. You know what? They are good people that I don't enjoy a ton at certain times of the year, but they are Iowa fans, and I'm giving them their respect today, a little begrudgingly, but I think rightfully so. What do you got here, Jake?
I don't know about all that respect stuff, but
okay.
But you know, I do think, you know, obviously it was that the you know, not having five players in the game. I mean, that really turned the game. They needed a huge rebound from Frager, who played lights out, went to the corner, hit that three to keep Nebraska in the game. It already felt like you were kind of losing it, right? And so you needed that big moment, and you only had four players out there. I mean, this isn't hockey where, you know, you can get used to that or maybe overcome the power play. You need five to defend five. And obviously, you know, that turned from a 3-point deficit to a 6-point deficit. Then, you know, Nebraska's kind of chasing points down there at, you know, maybe not taking the best shots, still shots. I mean, Price Sanford got looks at the bucket there toward the end. He was 6 of 10 altogether, you know, so, you know, fair enough. Sometimes it's just, are you making the shot? Are you not? But, you know, another thing I think is important to point out, Iowa had 5 turnovers this game. For how good Nebraska's defense has been all year long, I mean, they average more steals than that per game, Nebraska does. To only have 5 turnovers, and maybe that's part of playing a team a third time, like you said, with a coach like Ben McCollum, who's going to kind of take advantage of that. Nebraska 10 turnovers, you know, and five from Sam Hoiberg. He's uncharacteristically, you know, providing some extra possessions there for Iowa. And, you know, again, a game like this, there's all sorts of different details of every player that you can go through and say, if they would have done this and that, you know, maybe you get an extra possession there. I'm really proud of the effort they put in. I thought it was amazing. You know, the game, especially the first half, it was very aesthetically pleasing basketball because everybody was hitting everything. And, you know, and for that to be out there on in front of the nation was very cool. You know, this is a game that's going to have more eyeballs than most that Nebraska plays. So I thought that was good. And so, you know, like you're saying, you walk away from this game. It's frustrating because it's Iowa. It's frustrating because, you know, it felt like the opportunity was there. But again, to me, it's just that play, and I can't emphasize it enough. It's frustrating. It has to end like that because this is a team that pretty much optimized everything they had through hustle, grit, and you know, all that sort of stuff, and leaving it all out there, and then just a mental error at the end is what it ends up costing.
And credit to Iowa. They shot lights out throughout the entirety of the game. They went on a 14-3 run that led into that, you know, when we put four guys out there on defense. So it was a 16-3 run at that point. You think about the lead we had and then the deficit it created. That was a big, gigantic swing the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. You know, I do respect Fred Hoiberg. I can't tell you how many Hawkeye fans have commented on things that I put out on social media, otherwise. Respect Fred Hoiberg. Can't help but root for the guy. Guy is total class. Guy, he coached Iowa State. If there's anybody that Iowa should hate, it should be Fred Hoiberg. He has coached their two biggest rivals in Iowa State and Nebraska. I can't think of all the responses I got on social media. There was a lot. I'm on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube. I honestly don't remember a single negative one towards Fred Hoiberg from a Hawkeye fan. And I did the ingenious thing of tagging hashtag Iowa, hashtag Iowa Hawkeyes. And I got a lot of responses because obviously, you know, it includes a lot more Iowa fans in the discussion. I can't think of a single one where it wasn't classy, can't help but root for Fred Hoiberg, good coach, all this stuff. Not one. That's crazy to me because my point is after the game, Hoiberg didn't stand up there and say, well, you know, this could have happened or this happened before that or maybe this guy could have done this or somebody here before me or this or that. Or he said it was him. Like, it's on. He goes, I'm the coach. It's me. He completely owned it. It wasn't he didn't half-heartedly own it. He didn't own it out of obligation and then deflect it immediately after he owned it out of obligation. He just simply said, I'm the head coach. That's on me. And it's hard not to respect someone like that for conducting themselves in that manner, in that fashion. Are we allowed to put the season in perspective? We haven't even ranted that bad. You know what I mean? We've really just talked about the game. I feel like I analyze it honestly, fairly. Okay. But I do want to look at the season as a whole. Well, I'll put one more thought out there. This was sent to me by a wonderful human being this morning, so I might as well just share it. If you can't tell, that's sarcasm. And they're trying to talk trash to me, and they can't even get their trash talk right. So they started out, hey, in our last 11 games versus Iowa, we're 3-8. Well, if you want to go back beyond that, we're 4-15 in the last 10 years. So if you're going to trash talk me, like, make it complete, please. The next thing they sent was, we're 1-9 in football against them. Well, if you want to go farther back, we're 1-10, okay? Like, if you're going to trash talk, at least come fully equipped. Don't come with a pea shooter, because I'll come at you with a bazooka, even though the bazooka is still pointing at me. But my point is, the facts are the facts. Like, help your own argument here. The thing about this game, and then we're going to look at the season as a whole. Yes, it's Iowa. The way it went down, their late comeback, losing a close game to Iowa, yada, yada. Okay, talked about all that. The other thing that made it exponentially tough was when you get to the Elite Eight, most of the teams Nebraska is going to play in the Elite Eight, like, Nebraska spent $4.5 million on this roster, the least of any team in the Sweet 16. Did you know that?
I saw that yesterday.
The least of any team in the Sweet 16. So you're going to play a roster that has had more money put into it, most likely. Well, guaranteed, because now we know. Are they going to have more athleticism? But probably in their favor. It'd be hard to find many schools who haven't had more success in the past in the Sweet 16 than us, because we've never been there. So you got a lot of things where your opponent is probably going to have an advantage once you get to the Sweet 16. Before the Sweet 16, we were favored. We should have been. Although, was Vandy favored over us as I look back on it now? But it was basically a toss-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was really a Sweet 16 game because we finished, 15th in the country in the ratings? They finished 16th. The other thing that was tough about this was you get to the Elite Eight and you look at who your opponent is. It's like, oh, we can beat them. Not that we couldn't beat Florida or some other team, but we're going to be a dog. And we're going to rightfully be a dog and maybe by a decent amount. No. That's Iowa. We can beat them. We're favored to beat them. It's like, oh, we're one win away from going to the Elite Eight, getting a Sweet 16 win, I should say. I've been saying Elite Eight, but going to the Elite Eight, getting a Sweet 16 win versus a team we can beat. We're favored to beat. Have a much better record overall then, not head-to-head, so to speak. And then it happens. So it's not just who you lost to, but it's the fact that the odds of winning, you felt like they went up. You could have played a Florida or a Duke or an Arizona, depending on where you're at in the bracket, who you got matched up with. Like, the team that we got matched up with was a very beatable team. So that kind of adds to it, too. When we come back, I don't feel like we went in too hard. I don't feel like it was anything crazy. I feel like we expressed the frustration. I feel like we expressed just kind of how much it sucked, this and that. But when we come back, I do want to do two things. I want to look at the season as a whole. The greatest basketball season in the history of Nebraska basketball. Set many records this year. Did it without spending a ton of money. And at some point in the last 30 minutes of this show, we will preview the Nebraska spring football game. Before we go to our first break, you got any final thoughts before we head in there, Jake?
No, you know, obviously, like you said, we can kind of get to it overall. I wonder for folks too, if how much of this is going to be like today. I think the fact that it was Iowa doesn't sting as much as it is going to in the next, you know, as we move forward. Today it's just kind of like the season came to an end type of thing. I'm just interested to see how this loss ages. And of course, you know, we can talk about that in the next segment.
You think it's going to sting more like 2 months from now than it does right now that it was Iowa?
That it was Iowa. I think what it stings to me is not that it was Iowa. It stings to me because he had four guys out there on the court. You know, that just kind of the circumstances there. I think that we're just giving Iowa more and more ammunition every, you know, obviously this is just another one they can throw on top of the football discussions when we're debating with them.
I think right after something happens, it's very easy. And honestly, it's fair to expect, I don't want to say be a prisoner of the moment, but to be focused on what just happened. The farther time goes along, people tend to gain a broader retrospective perspective. In other words, they'll look at things more broadly. I don't think they focus on things more solely, in my humble opinion. Like, how many times have you and I specifically talked about the Iowa game? What have we talked in football? We've talked about November. As bad as the Iowa game was, we've talked about November. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But after the Iowa game, what were we talking about? We were talking about Iowa. Does that make sense? So I think as time goes along, I think it stings more, in my humble opinion. I could be wrong. Let's put it on your little calendar. Send an alert 1 month from now. How do we feel about Nebraska's loss to Iowa in the season as a whole? And we'll do it. Can you set that on your calendar? My wife does stuff for this like me all the time. Like, hey, call this person on Friday, and you got this meeting 10 minutes, whatever. Set that on your calendar. We'll revisit this in a month. I think it's going to sting more now than it will 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. Trust me, it's still going to sting. I'm not saying it's not going to sting. But the moment you get stung by a bee or a scorpion or whatever the case may be, I don't think it hurts as much later on down the road. I think you start to think about other things that surrounded this, what brought the stinging on itself. Sometimes that doesn't make it seem as bad. So I think as a whole, we'll start to look back at the season the farther time goes along. And we're going to do that starting with the next segment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.